WhatsApp Profilwe
on 072-702-1702.
It is 14 minutes past 8 on this Saturday, the 24th of September. And as we do during this part of the show on Weekend Breakfast, we do focus on parenting. This morning, we take a look at an idea, at an ideal balance in parenting styles and focusing on the pros and cons of the helicopter parenting style, often given a bad rep, but it's sometimes called snowplow parenting, where you're constantly removing objects out of the way from your child so that they don't have to deal with challenges, they don't have to deal with frustrations. But perhaps there's much more to helicopter parenting than that. Let's explore that with social worker as well as director of the Johannesburg Parent and Child Counseling Center, Claudine Ribeiro. They're a non-profit organization that's focused on psychosocial interventions and providing counseling and therapy for adolescents, for families, for adults, as well as children. Claudine Ribeiro, welcome to Weekend Breakfast. Thank you so much for making the time.
Good morning, Ophelia, and thank you for having me on the show today.
It's an absolute pleasure, Claudine. You know, parenting is a challenging job and it's a challenging undertaking and one that can, you know, constantly requires one to recalibrate, rethink one's strategies if one has a strategy to begin with. And by nature, it is relentless. So we can never have these conversations too often.
Ultimately. No, we can't. I think it really is a minefield. Mm-hmm. And the reference we have to parenting is our own parenting.
Yeah.
So that's our teaching ground, is what we went through as children. And we have to learn to take the good and the bad from that and try and work with that, you know, in our own parenting styles.
Claudine,
it
is a minefield, but ultimately, you know, we'll focus specifically on helicopter parenting. What are all parents fundamentally trying to do as they raise their children? What are we all aiming to do, despite the fact that we might be making some really ham-fisted, sometimes detrimental sort of efforts, and quite often, you know, loving and successful ones? What are we ultimately trying to achieve here?
I think we're all in the same boat as parents, if we indeed have children. We want our children to grow up to be strong, resilient, you know, free-thinking, and you know, children that can actually cope with day-to-day challenges when they are adults. You know, and I think we've got this ideal picture in our head. We want our children to be confident. We want them to be successful. It was interesting in that article that she spoke about their career success. And I think that we really want our children to succeed in every possible field, to not have any mental health challenges. So we have this idealized notion of how our children are going to pan out. And because of that, we tend to choose these sort of parenting styles, I guess, if we put a name to it, that can be, in the end, quite constrictive and can cause problems. So we have to be a little bit careful in the way that we parent our children. And you mentioned the helicopter style of parenting, which is the hovering, the watching over. If you can imagine, a helicopter sort of flies over. So we're constantly watching what they do, and pointing out what they should be doing and making sure they know, you know, nothing is affecting them in a negative way. We also talk about the lawnmower parenting, which is where we prepare the way for our prince and princess. We don't let them find any obstacles in their way as they go through life, and we try and remove them ahead of time. Now, you and I and our listeners know that life isn't really like that.
Sure.
We can't stop them from dealing with the negative things that happen around them, the little challenges that they have in their life, you know, and these sort of multiply as they get older and older. And in fact, we really are doing them a disservice if we try and stop that. And our feeling is we want to raise resilient children, and that's how we work with our parents, to try and say to them, got to let go a little bit so that your children can find their own feet, can deal with these little setbacks in their life, so that when they're older and they go into the adult world, they've got good, resilient skills of resilience, I should say, rather, that can help them to make decisions and to cope with life when it doesn't really go their way.
Sure.
Now, otherwise, we're just sort of setting them up for, you know, how can I say, we're setting them up for failure, I think, if we don't, because, you know, either they're going to end up being very anxious children or anxious adults, you know, because the world is too much for them. And that's the one extreme that we don't, you know, really, really want. The message is, I can't do anything by myself. I have to rely on other people. And we can end up with a very low self-esteem. You know, and we don't want that. We don't want our children to sort of feel that someone always has to step in. And then the extreme opposite is that sense of entitlement. Now, the world is just going to bow down and give me what I want, and the world must you know, revolve around me. And I think those two extremes are not ideal.
Yeah, absolutely.
We want the middle ground. We want confident, resilient children as they make their way into adulthood.
Claudine, the article you reference is obviously one that my producer sent you just as, you know, yes, as in preparation for this discussion. But the title of that is, I Raised Two Successful CEOs and a Doctor, and Here's the Parenting Style I Never Used on My Kids. That was published a week ago by a contributor at media company CNBC, Esther Wachiki. And essentially she says that she's got three adult children. One is a CEO of YouTube. One called Janice is a doctor. And the other one is a co-founder and CEO of 23andMe, that DNA testing company, commercial DNA testing company. So extremely successful children there is her example. But of course, we're not trying to fetishize parenting and parenting styles, and not every child needs to become the CEO of a super successful multinational company in order for us to be able to say, yes, we've done a good job as a parenting. So balance and understanding what is suitable for you, for your child, for your context. Is it possible, Claudine, for parents to adopt or assume a parenting style, if there even has to be a particular style, towards different children in the family? You've got three kids, and you know that because of this one's personality and because of this one's aptitude for certain things, this is my approach for her, this is my approach for him, and this is my approach for the third child.
So I definitely think that each of the children, if we have multiple children in our families, has their own personality, and we certainly have to take that into account. We have to understand that each of them has their own needs. And sometimes we have to work very differently with different children, different personalities. But I do think that the overall sort of feel, the overall framework that we can provide our parents with is a sense of allowing them within limits. I mean, we live in a country where our children can't necessarily just walk down the road, I mean, on their own, and walk to school, where they might be able to do that in other places. You know, so they've got limited freedom. So when you take, for example, school, we should really allow them more freedom within the school system. You know, instead of hovering outside their classroom, always waiting to talk to the teacher, always trying to get input. And as you say, we do this within reason, and each child is different. But I think that where we can give them freedom, we should, because that will enable them to kind of learn to make healthy decisions themselves about their life. Mm. It will make them feel powerful in their own sort of, it'll create a sense of autonomy, I think. And I don't think that we want children that can't make decisions.
Sure.
We want them to be able to cope with little setbacks quite easily, if that makes sense.
Sure. I think quite often the strange sort of push and pull and tug is that parents want respectful and obedient children, and then at the age of 18 or whenever they leave university, there's some magical switch that then flips over and suddenly they are autonomous and independent and free thinking. Yeah. But they should have been obedient all along. To that point, Claudine,
there is no magical switch.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's an overall sort of way of bringing your children up, discussing their feelings with them, discussing how negative little things that happen in their life, how it impacts them and how they feel about it, and allowing them the space in the family to talk about those things.
Mm.
And sometimes that's hard. You know, we've also had a long day at work and we'd rather just get home and all watch TV, but sometimes we have to go there so that they can understand and process what's happened in their life, even though it might be like what we think is very small and, you know, irrelevant, but for them might be very relevant.
Yeah. To that point, you're talking about freedom and independence, but by granting your child as much freedom, as you said, as possible within the school system, for instance, you're also showing them trust. Trust feeds into what in growing a child's character and being able to fulfill their full potential?
Well, I think we all know that trust is kind of the very basics. It's one of the most important developmental stages that a child can go through. And the children that we see in sort of a therapeutic or counseling kind of environment are the children where trust has been broken, where they've experienced a loss of some kind, a loss of a relationship, where someone's let them down or they feel let down. And so our role, you know, as the therapist, as the counselor in that function, is to try and reestablish trust where that's been broken. So I think that we want our children, obviously, we have to point out to them, and I would encourage parents to have honest conversations with their kids as, you know, as soon as they can comprehend, you know, that there are situations where not everyone can be trustworthy. There are situations where they have to look out for themselves. But if we're looking out for them all the time, then their own gut feelings are being suppressed. Their own radar is not, you know, is not being sort of fully activated. And we want to activate their own radar so that they understand when they're in a trusting situation and a situation when their alarm bell's going off. But if you don't, you know, deal with that with them and you just prevent anything, then they don't really develop those skills. So we want children that are trusting. And the key relationship in trust is actually the parental relationship with the child.
The key relationship is trust is the parental relationship with the child. Just talk to us about what kind of, I want to say therapy, but yeah, what therapy or counseling looks like in the context of the work that you do at the Parent and Child Counseling Center, when trust has, you know, trust has somehow been broken and you're trying to reestablish, you're trying to fix that relationship and reestablish a bond, of course, that will stand, especially the child, in good stead going into the future. What might that look like for a family that is, you know, at a particular point, a difficult point, and wants to just repair and move forward in a healthier fashion?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. It's quite a complex question because I think there are many levels that we can try and reestablish trust. And we would always try and work with the family as a whole to develop that trust, you know. And sometimes, unfortunately, our families are under a lot of pressure or stress. They may be experiencing a separation or a divorce or the loss of a loved one. And so where that trust is broken, we want to try and use the kind of therapeutic relationship to repair the trust that the child has experienced as a break in their life, and to show them that there are people around them that are caring for them, that, you know, that love them, that want to be there for them. And so we use the therapeutic relationship in that way, but we also try and reestablish trust between family members where there has been a breakdown. So through family therapy, we can do that quite effectively, because we create a space where the parent and child can actually honestly speak to each other and find better ways of interacting with each other where there has been a breakdown. Sometimes it means working with the parental couple on their own and talking about their own parenting styles and looking at perhaps slightly different ways to parent them, but to encourage and support them through that process, mm-hmm. because that's sometimes quite scary for them. And just to help them to find a new way where they feel they've gone off the path, if I could say.
Yeah.
So it takes different faces and different sort of strategies, but we always try and work with the family holistically where possible. You know, sometimes we have the scenario where the child is presented as the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's my child. We can't cope with, you know, they're running wild at home. The teacher's complaining about them. Fix.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always work like that. And that's where we come back to the parenting issue. We have to just sort of realign a little bit. And that's why we far prefer to work with the family holistically than just the child. Because we know that this is an issue that's maybe bubbling up in the family. You know, and we just have to realign. There's no judgment here. There's not a sense of you're a bad parent.
Mm-hmm.
Just, okay, let's look at things and see where little tweaks and changes can make a big difference. Or maybe we have to look at our own parenting and see what's hurt us.
Yes.
Work through that in a therapeutic way. And then that frees the parent to perhaps look at healthier ways of working.
Yeah.
As a parent.
We're going to leave it right there, but thank you so much for your time this morning. Claudine Ribeiro is a social worker and, of course, speaking to us as well from her vantage point at the Johannesburg Parent and Child Counseling Center.